Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Forever 35, a podcast about the things we do to take care of ourselves. I'm Kate Spencer.
I'm Dori Shafrir.
And we are not experts.
But we are two friends who like to talk a lot about serums.
And we welcome you to a mini episode, which is where we hear from you, we share your comments and thoughts, and answer your questions to the best of our ability.
And please do remember, we are not experts. We are podcast hosts, and we do always encourage you to seek support first and foremost from a doctor and or mental health professional as needed.
And if you want to reach us, our voicemail number is 781-591-0390, and our email is forever35podcast@gmail.com.
It is indeed.
Sometimes I just like to throw little things in to try to get a laugh.
Look, I get it.
You know,
and I laughed.
It worked. This is why I keep doing it. Let's kick things off with a voicemail response to a previous listener email. You may recall on a past mini episode, a listener wrote in because their boss was criticizing their managerial style and calling them a pushover. I think we named this boss Derek Chad.
Yes, we did.
Hi, Kat and Dor. This is Alicia calling from Portland. And I am calling because I can't stop thinking about the caller on this week's mini episode about her boss who makes disparaging remarks about her being a pushover. And I totally agree with your guys' advice that she should talk to him. And I also thought that it's important to reframe his narrative, you might say, about being a pushover, and that that's not actually, doesn't have to be a bad thing, and that in fact it can be an intentional choice about leadership style and how to manage a team, and what he perceives as pushover might actually be kindness and respect and making intentional choices about how we as women operate in the workplace, and that it can be a strength of ours. And I say this because I have these conversations with friends all the time about what people perceive as caring too much or being a pushover or those different things are actually what sometimes make us really good at our jobs. And I just think sometimes that's overlooked, and then people have different styles, and that's totally fine too. But that doesn't mean, it doesn't mean that it's not an intentional and strategic workplace choice that we should have every right to make. So that was all. I just wanted her, the caller, to feel like it's not just that his comments are inappropriate, but also that they're wrong, because she's probably great at her job. And that's everything. I hope you're having a great day, and I'll listen to you later. Bye.
What a brilliant perspective.
Yeah.
I love this.
I loved it too.
Yeah.
Period. End of sentence.
Totally.
No more needed to say.
No.
Thank you. What a great reframe and great perspective, and just added to the convo.
Yeah.
Next up, another voicemail.
Hi, Kate and Dori. This is Kat. I am actually the listener who called in maybe a month ago about my therapist playing solitaire. She actually corrected me that she was playing Free Cell. But I'm calling to make a suggestion. I'm listening to your recent episode, While I Floss, Before I Brush. in the bathroom. And I was wondering if you'd consider using a different word other than purge when you talk about getting rid of your stuff. We recently did an office move and people called it the Great Purge. And then people in one of our departments actually asked that we stop using that because they found it triggering for people who had suffered from eating disorders or who experienced disordered eating, which I know, Kate, is something that you've talked about openly. So I was wondering if you would ever consider using a word other than purge. And that's all. It's just some food for thought, no pun intended. Thanks, and love the podcast still.
Great question.
Interesting question.
One, I want to know what your office, what word your office ended up using.
So this was my question too. What is the word?
Yeah, 100%. We would totally consider using it. I mean, I'm only speaking for myself, but sure. After hearing this voicemail, it's like, what else? What is, I Googled synonyms for purge.
Yeah, what'd you come up with?
I mean, I'd have to re-Google. I mean, I think it would just say like a getting rid of. There has to be another word that has the same. I think removal is
the great removal.
Clearance.
I need to remove my house this weekend.
I mean, I think it's like a clearing out.
I need to clear out my house this weekend.
I mean, I don't know when purge started becoming the word for this. It does accurately describe what is happening.
Yeah.
I would be curious if other people find it triggering. If that's not, the first I've heard of it, and I really appreciate you bringing it up with us and suggesting a different word choice.
And if you have suggestions for other words.
Yeah, I would love to. I would love to think about it.
So we will take this under advisement. Thank you.
Thank you, Kat. Okay, we've got, Dory.
A Hall of Fame email.
It's already, I mean, it's a legendary email.
It is a legendary email.
This was an email. This was one of the ones that Dory forwards with the, I love this.
It got an I
preface.
Love this.
It did. And you will immediately know why within the first line. Dory, mm-hmm. I think you should narrate this one.
Thank you. Hi, Kate and Dory. My name is Claire, and I'm 13. I found your podcast while scrolling through the top 100 podcasts to listen to, so I subscribed.
Are we in the top 100 of podcasts?
I don't know.
I mean, this was also news to me, so thank you, Claire, for cluing me in. Exactly. I was like, oh, top 100.
All Since right. listening to you, I've gotten up earlier, eaten healthier, and now I'm on a steady skincare routine. I live in Alaska, which I moved to 3 years ago. I've made a really good friend here, but I still have a lot of friends in the place I used to live. There are some friends there who I still write with back who I still write back and forth with, but where I live, I don't have the option of texting because there is no Wi-Fi at my house. It's hard being away from my friends while we are going through different phases and especially our teen years. My question is, how do you guys keep up with friends you haven't seen in a while? And how do you keep it from being awkward when you do see them? Thank you so much for making the podcast, and I can't wait for the next episode.
Claire!
Oh my God, a 13.
I know.
Claire. Oh, thank you so much for writing in. This made me feel so good.
We love you.
Yeah, we do. I had a suggestion for something that I know that you have used that I have not used, which is the Marco Polo app. So I thought maybe she would have access to Wi-Fi like at the library or at school or something, and she could upload videos to Marco Polo. I don't know if that's like a real like okay boomer thing to suggest.
I know. Are we about to be so boomery
but
right now?
But she did email us and ask.
That's fair. So our response is, Claire, no, they're coming from two women in their 40s.
Yes.
This is tricky because there's no option. There's no Wi-Fi. So texting is hard. Now, here's where I'm going to sound really ancient. What if you picked a couple of like your most important friends and tried writing a letter?
I also had this thought, but then I thought she does say there are friends who she still writes back and forth with. So it sounded to me like she was looking for a more sort of,
I think,
immediate solution.
I mean, I think it's tricky because without the Wi-Fi, it seems to eliminate a lot of access to like FaceTime and like setting up a FaceTime date. Perhaps like not just doing a phone call, but setting up like a regular, like maybe there's a show you both love and then you talk about it on the phone after. So you're kind of like setting up some sort of scheduled weekly meeting.
Yeah. I mean, but also, I mean, people talk on the phone without FaceTime.
That's what I meant. Because the phone you don't need wireless for, presumably.
Yeah. So could you just talk on the phone with them?
Especially if you have a landline.
Yeah. Do people still do that?
Well, I don't know. I mean, Claire, I would love your feedback here because I don't know if like if 13-year-olds still talk on the phone the way that we did in 1992, you know? Yeah. I mean, that there's the way teens and communicate is possibly different, but also could be very similar.
Yeah.
My kids are not old enough yet, so I don't know.
Right.
But I if you feel comfortable like setting up weekly phone dates or bi-weekly phone dates so that you just chat on the phone, yeah. I feel like that is, I don't know, that's how back in our time we were on the phone nonstop.
I mean, another thing that I used to do with like camp friends and friends who lived far away is we would make mixtapes for each other.
Ooh, I love that. Like a Spotify playlist?
Yeah. So maybe you could make some playlists for them.
That's a cute idea.
Mm-hmm.
I think here's something that the question that I really liked is how do you keep it from being awkward when you reconnect with a friend in person? I think personally, my go-to move is to just acknowledge the awkwardness.
Yeah.
And just say like, I'm feeling nervous or like, this is so good to see you, but also I'm like kind of excited.
Yeah, we haven't seen each other in real life for so long.
Yeah. Another thing you could do if Wi-Fi is tricky for you is you could make a video as you would in Marco Polo and send it to them later. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think, I think in Marco Polo, you can make mess. I'm just, the messages are, they're transported via the wireless. But I don't know if you can make a message in Marco Polo and then send it later.
Oh, send it later. Yes. Right, right, right.
Again, because I'm 40.
I mean, or she could like record the videos at home and then send them.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But just like via text or something.
You could also send voice memos.
Yeah.
Like you could just record your, if talking on the phone is weird, you could just like chatter away in a 5-minute voice memo and then send it to your friend
when you have wireless. Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Look at us coming up with all these solutions.
We've got it. We could be in one of those movies where we have to be adults going into like secretly being eighth graders, like undercover cops.
Never been kissed.
That's like the last time that genre kind of existed. I feel like that genre was really big in the 80s of like an adult being in a high school, which very
is
weird.
Yeah, yes. Totally. Finally, someone was like, this is weird.
We shouldn't make these movies anymore. Yeah. Claire, we hope that helps. And thank you so much for listening and for writing us. That it really like warmed our hearts
it
to
really,
know that
really
you're
did.
Listening.
All right, we're going to take a short break.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You know, one thing I think is really kind of interesting about skin, my skin, but all skin, is that like what it needs now in my 40s is not what I needed in my 30s.
Totally.
Definitely not what I needed in my 20s. But like, how are you supposed to know what your skin needs?
It's hard. It's hard to know.
Especially when there's just like so many products out there. The overwhelm is real. It's a struggle to even know how to get the results you want, what products to start with. This is why we're super excited to partner with Apostrophe. Apostrophe is a prescription skincare company that offers science-backed medications that are clinically proven to help. I have used Apostrophe. I love it. They will pair you with a board-certified dermatologist who literally creates a personalized treatment plan for your skin. I have done this a few times now. It is so easy to do their online consultation. You upload photos. And like within a few weeks, I had done the consultation and received my treatment plan and my product.
Amazing.
And that is how I became a tretinoin gal. I love the tretinoin that they sent me. I love their sunscreen. Both products have been amazing on my skin. And you, Forever 35 listeners, can get a special deal from Apostrophe. You can get your first visit for only $5. That's at apostrophe.com/forever35 when you use our code forever35. Now that is a savings of $15. I like that. This code is only available to Forever 35 listeners. So to get started, just go to apostrophe.com/forever35 and click get started. And then use our code forever35 at sign up and you will get your first visit for only $5. Thank you, Apostrophe, for sponsoring this episode.
I think it's safe to say that we have suffered through bras. We've been uncomfortable in them. We've devoted whole episodes to finding good ones. But I'm here to say enough is enough. Enough. Enough.
I mean, drawn the line. Have I ever told you what I did in college when I needed a bra to wear with a fancy dress?
What?
I cut the top of pantyhose and then I duct taped that to my chest.
Oh. Sounds uncomfortable.
Because I didn't have honey love when I was in college.
No. Well, we are here to say no more being uncomfortable. With Honey Love's bras, you will wonder why it took so long to make something so comfortable and so supportive. There's no underwire, but through some kind of wonderful magic, they managed to not sacrifice lift, all while making it in a fabric that's so comfortable, you barely know it's there, especially the crossover bra. I wear one of these almost every day. I'm wearing one right now because it's so comfortable and it easily fits into my life. But if you like a breathable and versatile legging, Honeylove has you covered on that front too. Plus, they have tanks, shapewear, and their V-bra that has molded cups still without the underwire to keep you from getting that dreaded uniboob effect other more relaxed bras tend to give you. So treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/forever. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off, honeylove.com/forever. After your purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them and please support our show and tell them we send you. Treat yourself to Honeylove because you deserve it.
So in a previous episode, someone asked us for advice about SAD, seasonal affective disorder. And as per usual, our listeners had some great advice.
So here's an email. I'm emailing about being SAD, no, not just down, seasonal affective disorder. My mother had it growing up and I've identified with it as well since my teenage years. Not sure if it's a gene thing or learning her behaviors or just New York weather, but here I am. I have some coping strategies I've honed over the years that worked for me, other than, of course, seeking out a therapist. One, schedule your day around when it's light out. SAD has more to do with vitamin D and light than the cold. Two, speaking of light, try to take advantage of those bright, not so cold days and take a walk, be outside briefly. I try to commute to work in a way that allows me to be in the sun. I am also in Brooklyn and I am lucky enough to have the option of a ferry to work or a partly above ground train. Three, my mother swears by the light boxes easily found on Amazon. Four, hot yoga. Five, winter intentions. I have winter hobbies I don't do in the summer, knitting, bullet journaling, baking, and winter to-do lists for home projects. Six, summer gratitudes and traditions to look forward to. For whatever season you feel the most joy, be mindful of the memories and create seasonal routines. I keep a list of the great things I did over the summer and reframe the narrative from being upset I can't do it to valuing the times I did have and promising that I will do those things again when my season comes back. Winter does end.
These are all such great suggestions.
And you know what I love? I love a list.
And I love
a numbered list.
I love a narrative reframe.
Oh, you do.
I do.
We received another email.
I did. Should I take this one?
Yeah, please grace us with your voice.
Oh, thank you. I've struggled with seasonal depression for almost my whole life. I was diagnosed 18 years ago at 15 years old. I've lived in Metro Detroit my whole life, and our winters are basically 6 months long. Very short, dark days, in addition to constant record temperature lows and what can seem like endless snow and ice. And being in the city slash suburbs is definitely not as pretty as up north. The snow itself becomes gray and black and hideous. Don't even get me started on the driving anxiety. For many years, I did nothing to try to make it better and just marinated in the sadness, exhaustion, and some suicidal ideation. But a couple things fast-forwarded my journey. When my mom passed 4 years ago, I had to go on antidepressants and I've never looked back. When my cat died tragically this year, I had to start therapy and it's tremendously helped me with all my issues. Those aren't really my tips though. Because of the medication and therapy, I've been better able to take care of myself. It's not a flashy cure, but the truth is that the secret to keeping the depression at bay is daily maintenance. For me, that means taking vitamin D, probiotics, and multivitamins every night and using my sun lamp every morning, in addition to working out twice a week and trying to go outside when it is sunny. I can't recommend the vitamin D and sun lamp enough. The sun lamp isn't a gradual thing that needs to build up in your system. You will get energy as a direct result every time. They're pretty inexpensive now, and there are tons on Amazon, even portable ones. If you don't have time in the morning, you could possibly bring it to work. I use it for 10 to 15 minutes each morning while drinking coffee. You literally don't have to do anything but sit there, which is great when you're worn down. I don't love taking pills, so I bought the vitamin D gummies, and it only took a few weeks before it became a full habit to take them before bed. On the weekends, I go to the gym Saturday and do an easier workout at home on Sunday. If they're applicable to you and you can afford them, I obviously very highly recommend medication and or therapy. But those aren't the only things you can do. Daily maintenance like mine is keeping me going better than I have in decades. Also, please be patient with yourselves. If you're drained, there's nothing wrong with sleeping more than usual. If you don't feel up to a social event, don't go and don't feel bad for not going. If you don't want to leave the house, you can work out at home usually. Shortcuts are fine and do not mean anything bad about you. For instance, if you hate leaving the house in winter or don't have the energy, use Instacart and meal or produce delivery services if you can afford them. When you have thoughts that say rude things about you, pretend it's a friend you're talking to. You'd never tell a depressed friend they were being lazy or a bad person by taking shortcuts when they don't have the energy. Sorry if this is long. I just want people to feel better. So daily maintenance and being patient with yourself. I'm sure many of you, like me, wish there was an easy fix, but trust me, this is it.
Great tips in here.
This email, chock full of tips.
One of my best friends does what this listener mentioned. They sit in front of their sun lamp and drink their coffee for like 10 to 15 minutes every morning in the winter.
I really wish when I lived in New York that I'd just bitten the bullet and gotten the lamp.
Me too, because I think it would have, and it, even just growing up in Massachusetts and going to school in Maine, it was dark at 3:45 every day.
Yes.
And it really was challenging.
It really gets to you. I remember when I first moved to LA, it was, I think I moved in April. So it like started, it was still kind of cold like when I left. And I just remember walking outside and feeling like a plant that had finally been like exposed to the sun.
Mm.
I was like, oh
yeah, you blossom.
Yeah.
It really does make a difference.
It truly, truly does.
Also really interesting to see vitamin D coming up a lot.
Yeah.
People are really good about taking their vitamin D.
I take vitamin D.
I don't, but never say never, apparently.
Because I had to have my vitamin D level tested when I started IVF and it was low. And that is one of the things that they recommend for fertility, that you get your vitamin D levels up. And then I've just continued to take a vitamin D pill every day.
Oh. Hmm. Good tip.
Yeah.
We have one voicemail I wanted to play with some really great advice. Also from Michigan, this listener.
Hi, Kat and Dore. I'm a longtime listener, first-time caller, and I'm actually a second-time caller now, because the first time I called, I was so out of breath and distracted. I'm out on a morning winter walk with my dog, who has a tendency to get very excited when he sees other dogs, and that's precisely what he was doing when I called. The reason that I'm calling is in response to your questions about seasonal depression hacks, tricks, tips, all that good stuff. I am a graduate student, which is pressure in and of itself, and I live in Michigan. So you can imagine that weather here is cold, winters are long, and seasonal depression is very, very real. One of the things that my husband and I have started to do really all year long, but which I think has the biggest impact on both of our mental health in the fall and in the winter, is a weekly dinner party with friends. We typically switch off, so 1 week we'll host, the next week they'll host. It means that nobody's got to do too much work on any given week, but it's a really lovely thing to look forward to. We do it on Saturday night. And when you've just had a really crummy Wednesday and it's been cold and gloomy and terrible, being able to text your buds and talk about what you're going to cook on that Saturday night or what kind of wine you should pair, it helps to remind you that those very long, very dark days have their end, and that there is really good stuff in there as well. Looking forward to hearing everybody else's tips and tricks for seasonal depression, and thank you so much for the pod. It's a pleasure to listen. Percy and I are out here every morning listening to y'all talk about self-care and thinking about how to continue to be nice to ourselves and to one another. Thank you so much again. Bye-bye.
This is a fun idea for anybody.
Yeah, I love that.
Me too. I don't, you know, I have such social anxiety that I'm always terrible about having people over for meals. That's something I want to work on about myself.
You know, you had my husband and me over for a meal for Christmas last year.
And I probably stressed about it for like 5 weeks.
And it was so lovely.
Like I was visiting my friend in Oregon and she was just like, we're just gonna have people over for dinner. And like their friends came over and it was very, like they could, it was nobody was stressed. And I was like, how is this not a point of panic for them?
We got to get you that new Alison Roman cookbook.
I know, I was going to ask for it for Christmas.
Okay.
So FYI, Alison Roman always won everything she does and talks about. Well, we're going to transition once more to an ad break. That was bad, huh? That was a bad segue.
I was like, wait, aren't we supposed to be taking a break?
Right? We are. All right, we'll be right back. It shouldn't be so hard or expensive to find furniture that exudes elegance, sophistication, and a touch of luxury. And we're happy to say that today's sponsor, Article, makes getting quality furniture as easy as checking the pieces out online. Thanks to their online-only model, they have some really great manageable prices. Article believes in delightful design for every home, so you can get to creating a space that truly reflects your personal style. I now have a space that is quite outfitted in Article. And I have to tell you how not just like seamless, but truly enjoyable the ordering and shipping process was. It was extremely fast. It's affordable, very convenient because I got to pick the delivery time and they sent me updates every step of the way. It was like they knew that I was an obsessive checker on shipping, and they were like, we see you, we honor you, and we're going to support that journey for you. As Dory knows, I have a beautiful bench from Article right when you enter my home. I have some gorgeous planters, and then my kind of like surprise favorite piece from Article are the blankets I have gotten for my sofa that my family all hogs.
Oh.
Including my dogs. My dogs love these blankets so they're like throws on our couch. The dogs try to monopolize them.
Dogs are such blanket hogs.
They know a soft blanket when they see one, I gotta say. So their endorsement, honestly, their endorsement says more than mine ever could. That's how soft these blankets are. Article has all kind of curated furniture from mid-century modern or coastal to industrial, Scandi, boho. So no matter what style you're leaning toward, they have got something for you. I mean, you could really do like every room in your house in a different kind of style if you wanted to. And with Article's team of designers, no matter what piece or how many, you're sure to find the perfect balance between style, quality, and price. Article is offering Forever 35 listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. To claim it, visit article.com/forever and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout. That's article.com/forever for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Well, we're back.
Here we go.
Hi, Kate and Dory. My name is Corey, and I'm a first-time caller. And I just felt really inspired to call and respond to the listener who is really close with her parents. She's an only child, and she's afraid about moving away from her parents and going off to college on her own. I'm 21 years old. I'm a senior in college, and I had almost a parallel experience to this listener. And I'm an only child as well, and my mom is my absolute best friend. And I think something that this listener needs to
think about is not so much whether or not her parents, how her parents are going to feel about her leaving, because they want what's best for her. And she needs to think about whether or not she would be happy moving far, far away. And it sounds like she would be. But I also think it's important to remember that we live in a day and age where it is so easy to keep in such close contact. If you need to, FaceTime your parents every single day and talk about exactly what you did that day, just the same as if you were home. I think that technology really allows us to be close to people that are super far away. And I think your parents would want what's best for you. And if you really feel like moving far away from home is what's right for you, I think you should take the leap. Thanks, guys. Love the pod. Bye.
What a lovely voicemail.
We also got an email that we wanted to share. To the 21-year-old considering moving away from her parents, I am a 37-year-old only child who is emotionally close to her parents. I went to undergrad 6 hours away from home and without a car, so I couldn't go home regularly. I still live 6 hours away and see them in person every few months. Having some distance from them has given me the opportunity to do some things and develop relationships that I might not otherwise have if my parents had been involved in my day-to-day life. I went out at weird hours and made friends who were unlike my high school friends. I traveled to places they wouldn't dream of visiting, and I took a few jobs that wouldn't have been available in my hometown. Those experiences have played a huge role in making me who I am today. It also forced me to learn how to live without a safety net nearby and prompted me to recognize and work through some codependency I had in my relationship with my parents, which has benefited my mental health and my marriage. I love my parents and we're still close. I talk to them on the phone and visit as often as I can. I know they miss me and would like to spend more time with me, but they are proud of who I've become. I do wonder what it would be like to be able to see them, say, on a weekly basis for dinner, and I occasionally get sad about not being there more often, but I'm grateful for my choices, and at this point wouldn't change a thing. That said, this doesn't mean choosing to move away is what you should do. There is no right choice. In either choice, you stand to gain big things, and you will make some sacrifices. Adulthood is about facing down these kinds of choices, weighing your options to the best of your ability, and then confidently embracing the choice you make, knowing you can reevaluate it and have permission to change your mind in the future. Beautifully said,
so beautifully
listener.
Said. Yeah.
Well, great advice.
Great advice.
Dory, we have this voicemail that I want to share.
Yes.
Before we read this email at the end of things. I think we have time for both.
Okay, great.
Hi, Kate and Dory. I'm a little bit behind, but I just listened to the gift-giving episode, the gift guide episode, and you guys were talking. Dory's splurge item was the Dyson Airwrap. And I just have to call in and say I highly recommend this purchase, especially, Kate, if you want, like, these, like, beautiful curls that last for days and look not like they came from a curling iron. It comes with a hair dryer in it, so it's kind of like, I know it's a splurge, but, again, I'm a public school teacher. I saved my mad money for six months to get this thing, and I bought it. And I have never been happier with a purchase. I tell my husband, if the house burns down, I'm going back for the Dyson Air Styler. It's the possession that I will take with me. I bring it on trips. I don't put it in my checked bag because I'm petrified somebody's going to steal it because I cherish and love it so. I don't find that it's great for the straightening as much. I have used it for straightening, and it's good. But if you just want to straighten, I would not recommend it. But if you want these curls, I mean, if my hair is thick straight, there's no curling iron that could ever curl it. Not even at the hairstylist could they curl it and hold a curl. And this, I can sleep in my curls. It's like 3 days straight, and they're still like these beautiful, like natural-looking things. It's so simple to use. I thought I would be a dummy, and like my hair would get caught into it. And it, like, it's just magic. This is like what science was made for, to make my hair do this. So I highly recommend it. And no, I don't work for Dyson. I love you guys. Love the podcast. It's like hanging out with my girlfriend. Thanks. Keep doing what you're doing. Bye.
I am sold.
What a great endorsement, right?
Get me that air wrap.
Carries it on planes.
It is her most prized possession.
Well, it is very expensive. It is very expensive. I would also carry it on.
Yes.
That is a fear of mine. Someone finds it and they're like, ooh, I've wanted this Dyson hair wrap. I mean, what an endorsement.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing I like more than when a teacher says that what science was made for is for Dyson hair wrap.
And that she saved up for it.
Yeah. It sounds like an amazing product.
I really want one.
I do too. But oh my gosh, it's so expensive.
So expensive.
Okay. Well, we'll just keep having this conversation.
Okay, cool.
But any other Dyson hair wrap people out there, send us your thoughts.
Air wrap.
Oh, I keep calling it a hair wrap.
I think that's the pun.
Oh, well, I fell for it. Mm-hmm. Well, Dory, before we sign off, we had a submission to the embarrassing story corner.
My favorite corner.
This is your favorite corner?
I like to hang out on this corner.
You do. You're always just kind of walking into this corner and staying there.
I am.
This is quite a story.
Quite a tale.
So, they write, Dear Kate and Dory, as soon as I heard you put out a call for listeners' embarrassing stories, I knew I had to get in touch to share this doozy. Then they suggest we recite this part in a Sophia Petrillo voice, who is the mom on Golden Girls, which I'm not going to do.
Picture it.
Oh, my God.
Morningside Heist, Manhattan, circa 2006. Oh, that was all right.
That was pretty good, Dory.
Not too bad.
I was
Need some work.
Yeah, but you know what? As someone without an acting background, I feel like you really nailed it.
Thank you, Kate.
Your character work was pretty great.
Appreciate that.
I was in my early 20s living in an apartment with three other girls, just a random assortment of Craigslist roomies. In classic New York City shitty apartment style, my bedroom had for sure once been a dining room and was directly across from our small kitchen. One evening, I went on a date with some Derek Chad. I really appreciate you using a made-up name.
Great callback.
Yep, thank you. Nothing special. It ended up with us parting ways at my building door. I had only had a drink or two and wasn't drunk or anything. I went upstairs, went to bed, woke up the next morning, and went about my day. It was an uneventful evening, or so I thought. Cut to the following evening, and I'm sitting on my bed in a state of blissful ignorance until my roommate, Janet, quietly knocks on my door and peeks in the room. She asks very gently if I'm feeling okay. Weird, Janet, but okay, yeah, I'm fine. Why? She asks if I remember talking with her last night. I most certainly do not. She looks concerned. Yeah, I thought you might not. She proceeds to tell me that she had been up late, not feeling well, and making herself some tea in the kitchen when I came in, and apparently had a conversation with her, the contents of which are lost to history. She then said that she turned around to tend to her tea, and when she turned back around, I was peeing in the vegetable crisper. Note, the caps are me yelling at myself. Janet was very gentle with my imploding emotions. Now, I don't know what I was expecting Janet to tell me, but it sure as hell was not that. I am instantly mortified and launch into 1,000 apologies, reiterating that I have zero memory of any of this. Janet says that she thought I might not remember because, quote, it's still there. That's right, Cat and Door. Not only did I, in some bladder-emptying fugue state, open a shared refrigerator, pull out and squat over the crisper drawer, and pee in front of a near stranger, I also left my urine there all day, sloshing about. Janet very kindly helped me empty, clean, and bleach the drawer, and we never spoke of it again.
Wow.
I mean... Do you think this is like a sleepwalking situation?
I think she was drunk. I think she was drunker than she thought she was.
Oh, interesting.
And she was sleepwalking also.
So a combo.
Mm-hmm. My ex-boyfriend once peed like in the kitchen because he thought it was the bathroom.
Yes, I have experienced someone peeing in a closet.
Yeah.
In the middle of the night thinking mm-hmm. it was a bathroom. It happens. I mean, honestly, I will say.
It was contained.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like of all the places to accidentally pee and not remember it, I feel like a crisper.
I mean, it's not ideal, but it's not the worst.
The vision of someone opening the fridge and then just like squatting on a crisper is going to stay with me. For life.
For a very long time.
For a long time.
Well, on that note, that crispy note.
Thank you all for listening, for journeying with us on this path.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.